Welcome to the Feed Your Soul with Kim podcast. I'm Kim McLaughlin, your host, and today we have part two. We are talking about the eight myths of intuitive eating. There are so many myths and misconceptions about intuitive eating, and we are busting through all of those myths. We are talking about what is intuitive eating really, and we're going to talk about those myths, how those myths can keep you stuck with overeating, and literally what you can do to become more aligned with intuitive eating. Let's get started. Welcome to the Feed Your Soul with Kim podcast. I am Kim McLaughlin, your host. I am a psychotherapist. I am a coach and a best-selling author. And I help people when they're feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, and overloaded. And it shows up in overeating. Today we are talking about, this is part two, about the eight myths about intuitive eating. We went in our previous podcast, we talked about the first four myths. Now we're going to talk about five, six, seven, and eight in our myths. There probably are more. I'd love to hear if you have any other myths or misconceptions you have about intuitive eating. Send me a DM on Instagram, or you can email me, write a review and write your question in the review on the podcast. I would love to hear what you're thinking. I would love to hear what you're wondering. So we talked in our last podcast about the myths about intuitive eating. We really, I think what I came away with was that these myths that we were talking about, or we talked about the first four, were really how intuitive eating gets compared to a diet. And intuitive eating is so far away from a diet. And go to our previous podcast to get more ideas we had, or to kind of learn how we're kind of breaking apart that misconception that intuitive eating might be like a diet. Because if we let go of the diet, or when we let go of the diet, then what do? That's where intuitive eating comes in. And so the first myth we have was, that we talked about last time, is intuitive eating is just another diet. We talked about how dieting is really a way of restricting, and intuitive eating is nothing like that. It's about getting connected with your body, those things in your body, the way you feel that leads you towards what are your right foods that you need to eat. Myth number two was intuitive eating only works if you don't have a medical condition. We really broke that down, that you need to obviously be in contact with your health professional. Intuitive eating is a very helpful way to get back in touch with your body, so that along with your medical professional, whatever the foods are that might not be your right foods that your body might be allergic to or respond negatively to, intuitive eating is perfect to help you work through what are your right foods. When you feel like eating the foods that make you sick, we have ways to talk about what are the emotions that are coming up, what are the thoughts that are coming up, and really help you look at those in a different way so that you can let that go, right? You can let that go and just know what to do. Myth number four was, let me see, you can't enjoy eating out if you follow intuitive eating. You can't enjoy eating out if you don't follow intuitive eating. We debunk that one. It's really clear to me that that idea goes back to dieting, and how when we're dieting, we don't want to go out. We feel concerned about going out, and we tend to stay at home eating these regular foods and not be social because we're afraid. We're afraid of going out, right? I think I missed myth number three. Myth number three was intuitive eating is all about moderation. That once again is really from the dieting mindset, that you have to have moderation. There is no such thing in intuitive eating. It's getting in touch with your body. Are you hungry? Are you full? Are you satisfied? Are you eating foods that you love? And there is no place for moderation. It's really coming from a place of being in touch with your body. And in intuitive eating, especially in our program, Emotional Eating Solutions, we talk about how to get back in touch with your body. So Those are what we do. So those are catching you up on the first four that we went over, the first four myths. The next four myths that we have are, well, the myth number five is that you'll have to give up your favorite foods. And we know from what we've been talking about, and if you've been listening to this podcast, that you don't have to give up your favorite foods, that there is no restriction on the foods that you like. This once again goes back to that idea that the dieting mindset, the dieting way, being on a diet means that you can't have your favorite foods. You have to give them up and they have to be in some kind of quantity or not at all, or you have to change up the recipe so that it doesn't have sugar in it or doesn't have fat in it, but then it doesn't taste good at all. So we don't talk about giving up your favorite foods, and we don't have the idea of good food or bad food. There is no good food. There is no bad food. Food is just food. We don't label food as off limits. We don't say that, you know, a salad is better than a brownie. We don't say any of that. What we wonder is, are you hungry? How hungry are you? And what is your right food that matches what you need? What is it that matches what you need? And it could be your favorite food. I remember early on in intuitive eating, because I had been so much in the diet mindset, that I would have things that I wouldn't even consider having for a meal now. I would have sweet things for a meal, because it's like, I just want it because, are you sure I can have it? Are you sure I can have it? I can have my favorite foods whenever I want. Yeah, you can. Then through working on intuitive eating myself, I really was able to get in contact with how often I had dieted. What were the things I went through with my body that made myself not eat foods that I really wanted, and the restrictions that I had? And we don't have restrictions. What we want to do is, we don't ask you to give up your favorite foods. What we want you to do is check in with your body and be mindful and pay attention to your body's signals of what are your right foods. So you really get to enjoy all types of foods, and it becomes getting in contact with that body wisdom, along with checking in with your emotions. What are your emotions that might be? I find our emotions often lead us to these foods that we think are off limits. So then when we're having a moment with feelings, then we start to crave these sweet, high fat foods, because it's our way of calming ourselves, because it's so, we've restricted so much. We want that to soothe ourselves. And we become think that the only way to soothe ourselves is with these certain foods. So you don't have to give up your favorite foods. What I help you check in with is, what is your best way to manage the feelings and the thoughts and what's coming up for you? And what is your self-care and self-love to look at, what do I really need? Because there are times where eating certain foods feel good and like, I feel good afterwards. There are a lot of times if I'm eating over my emotions, it doesn't help me deal with the emotions or feel empowered with the emotions. It can tend to make me feel worse about myself. And that's where we don't ask you to give up your favorite foods. We just ask you to check in if you're feeling out of control. And then we have a whole protocol for what to do if you're feeling out of control with food. But the first way to end feeling out of control with food is not restricting the foods that you eat. We talked about this in the first podcast on the myths. We talked about how there's that cycle that goes, that circle of diet and restrict leads us to binge and overeat, leads us in further in the circle to shame. And the only way we know how to deal with that is to go back up and restrict. So we're trying to get off of that diet cycle in order to just check in and go, what are my right foods? And it might be my favorite food, or it might be another food that really is going to nourish me and feel good in my body. Myth number six is, intuitive eating is just a fad diet. A lot of people haven't heard of intuitive eating. So I get it that you might think it's a fad diet. It's something that's going to come and go, and it's going to be kind of that here today, gone tomorrow. That, what is it on Yahoo? I know every week there's a new diet that comes out. It's the best diet, the, you know, how to get, a washboard abs and how to do this and what to eat. And those are fad diets because they're telling you what to eat, how much to eat, when to eat. What are good foods? What are bad foods? And that is a fad diet. I also find fad diets are about really, really narrow restriction, very, very narrow restriction, and give you a lot of, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And that is what we stay away from here. We don't have restrictions. We don't have off-limit foods. It's really about, what have we been saying? Getting back in touch with your body, listening to your body, and being mindful of what is your right food. So we don't rely in intuitive eating. We don't rely on gimmicks. We don't rely on products. We don't rely on false promises of quick weight loss. We don't rely on any of that. We rely on the research that tells us that intuitive eating works and that it gets you back in touch with your body. Myth number 7 is intuitive eating doesn't work. And I thought that was an interesting myth to hear that one. It's like, doesn't work. I think that means in terms of what do you think your definition is of working or not working? And that makes me think that in that the thought is when you say that that's going on is that it doesn't work, is that it means it's about you can't lose weight or you won't lose weight. Yeah, you could lose weight, but it's not the goal. It's not the goal of intuitive eating to lose weight. It's not the goal of intuitive eating to manage your weight. The goal is really to get back in touch with your body and have peace with food, peace with your body, peace with your food, peace in your life. That's what it is about. Intuitive eating has been scientifically proven to help around weight if you want it to. Even though that's not the goal, it helps with disordered eating and it helps with self-esteem. It helps with emotions. It helps with everything. We just don't focus on getting on the scale and determining what, you know, each week I need to lose 2 pounds or I need to lose a certain amount of pounds. I don't recommend getting on the scale. I think it sets up all the diet mindset that makes us a little crazy and feel upset. I also don't look to intuitive eating for weight management or to make yourselves get smaller. Yeah, if you're eating more, if you're more in touch with your body and more in touch with what your body needs, it might express itself as a smaller weight size. We don't focus on that. And the other thing we don't focus on is like that comparison of, oh, I've lost this much weight. I've lost this. I've lost that. What we really talk about is how do you feel with your food? How do you feel in your body? How do you feel in your relationships? How do you feel with your emotions? That's what we want. We really want this balanced relationship with food, but also we want this balanced relationship in our lives with everything and everyone all around us. It's this thing where it's about the food, but it's not about the food. It's about all the other things. And intuitive eating is the place to get more peace in your life through the food and through getting back in touch with your body. You actually have peace with your life. Let me see. Intuitive eating, myth number 8 is there's another myth that intuitive eating is just too hard. It's just too hard is what people say. I can't do this. It becomes, I think, difficult when we're moving off of that diet mindset to think, well, this is just what you're going to do for the rest of your life, because it's not like a diet where you come on it and you come off it, you come on it, you come off it. If you gain weight, you go stricter in it. It doesn't require any of that. It's really about how do I want to live my life around food, around other people. And what it needs is that it's not hard. It's just requiring a practice, an intention, a consistency, a checking in with yourself. And it's a way, what I love about intuitive eating is that it's a way for me to get back in touch with myself, mind, body, spirit. In Emotional Eating Solutions, we talk about the 6 components. We talk about the physical, the emotional, the mental, the lifestyle, mindfulness, and self-love. We talk about all those. So it's about how we get our life back. And that's what I love about intuitive eating is how do I get my life back? Because once I move off of dieting and into something that really celebrates me and who I am, and I eat in a way that celebrates my body, I just feel really good. So I want to give you some concrete things when you think that intuitive eating might be too hard. Let's talk about a little bit about how you can work into having it not feel hard, because there are things to do with intuitive eating. I think it's just a part of the concept of intuitive eating that if you knew what you could do, then it wouldn't feel so hard. So how do we get into intuitive eating? I want to give you some clues before we end our podcast today. Is one of the things you can do is be mindful at meals. And there are so many ways to be mindful at meals. And this makes it not hard. It makes it where you have the capacity and the ability to start getting more intuitive and getting in touch with your body. Some of the things I like is eat while you're sitting down. I used to have a horrible thing about eating while I'm standing, eating while I'm walking, eating while I'm doing stuff, and not sitting at the table, not sitting down. That was a huge game changer for me, because if I'm sitting down with the intention of eating, with a plate, with silverware, with a napkin, with water, then I'm there to eat. And so that is my focus. That is my intention. If I'm eating while I'm walking, well, walking seems to be the thing that's harder. You know, I gotta focus on the walking. This becomes a really intentional way to start being in touch with your body. Another way to be more intuitive is to eat without distractions. I like this one. I don't follow it 100% of the time. I used to be one of those TV people where you'd get your meal, you'd sit in front of the TV, or even not a meal, snacks and things, and just eat. And I would always eat too much. I would eat more than I wanted. I wouldn't be in touch with my body. I wouldn't have my right foods. And I was really, really distracted. I also I would eat while I was driving, so that I was really distracted from eating because I'm driving and I'm eating this like a full-on meal, you guys. Like I would eat a meal while I was driving because I didn't have enough time, is what I always told myself. I didn't have enough time. I wasn't honoring myself or my hunger. I'm not saying I don't eat while I'm driving. I don't eat a meal while I'm driving anymore. Sometimes I might have a snack, but that's pretty rare where that happens now, because it literally was meals were on the road because of lots of reasons, but it was a very distracted way of eating. And that was one of the big wins for me with intuitive eating is just making that as a commitment to myself. So it wasn't hard when I realized that it didn't serve me to drive and eat. And so that's where, you know, that we're back to the myth is intuitive eating is hard. It wasn't hard. And it was, and literally it was my personal decision that probably isn't my best way to eat by eating while I'm driving. So another one, the third one is eat foods that taste delicious. That's the one I like. Eat yummy food, eat food that tastes delicious. And I think a salad is equally delicious to a brownie. My brownie is one of my things. I love brownies, but they have to be the right kind. But eat foods that taste delicious. Lots of foods taste delicious. Make them tasty. Make them tasty, because then I want to eat them and I can pay more attention to my body. To me, eating tasteless food is once again a dieting mindset. One day I'm going to do a podcast around diet food, the diet food I used to eat. And I'd love to hear you guys tell me what you used to eat. Like, it was nasty food. It wasn't food. So I want to eat food that's delicious. But if I eat it sitting down without distractions, it's my right food. I'm hungry. I eat till I'm satisfied. Then it's all good. Lastly, savor your food and really taste it. This is part of my thing. I still have problems with eating too fast. I can't tell you how often I'll eat too fast and go, okay, Kim, you got to slow down. So that's still my thing, because when I eat too fast, my tummy feels a little bit upset because I just ate too fast and I don't like that. So that's something that is my note to self about what I do. And none of those are hard. They're my personal decisions about what I want to do and what works right for me. So what about intuitive eating would be something you might want to do? What might you want to try? We talked about a lot of different things today. And what could be your way to move into intuitive eating to just try it out? If you have any myths or any questions you have about it, email me. The link is in the show note to email me or write a review and ask your question in the review on your podcast, whatever podcast you listen to us through. I am so glad you guys have been here. Thank you for showing up for this Feed Your Soul with Kim podcast. And I hope you got a lot out of learning about some myths, and we did some myth busting today. So thank you for showing up. I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. Bye, everyone.
I am so excited. We are coming up on our 100th episode of the Feed Your Soul with Kim podcast. Oh my gosh, it has been so exciting getting up to 100 episodes. On our 100th episode, it is going to be a special one because I want to focus on what you all want to focus on. It is going to be an extra special Ask Kim Anything episode of the podcast. So what I need you to do is to send me your questions. I have a link in the show notes to a document you can fill out, or you can send me an email at info@feedyoursoulunlimited.com or an Apple iTunes. Give me a review and ask your question. I look forward to answering your questions in our upcoming 100th episode.